Yes, and the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own. And best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in.
"They are not torn down,"
cried Scrooge, folding one of his bed curtains in his arms.
"They are not torn down, rings and all. They are here. I am here. The shadows of things that would have been may be dispelled. They will be. I know they will. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. A merry Christmas to everybody and a happy new year to all the world."
Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog, no mist. Clear, bright, jovial, stirring, cold. Cold, piping for the blood to dance to. Golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet, fresh air, and merry bells. Oh, glorious, glorious. "What's the day?" cried Scrooge, calling down to a boy in Sunday clothes.
"Why, today? Why, it's Christmas Day."
"Christmas Day. I haven't missed it.
Do you know the Poulterers in the next street but one at the corner?" "Why, I should hope I did,"
replied the lad.
"A remarkable boy.
Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the big one. Oh, the one big as me?"
"What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him."
"Why, yes, my buck." "Why, it's hanging there now," replied the boy.
"Is it? Go and buy it, and tell him to bring it here that I may give them directions where to take it. Come back with a man, and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you half a crown."
The boy was off like a shot.
"I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's,"
whispered Scrooge, rubbing his hands and splitting with a laugh.
"I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's. He shan't know who sends it. It's twice the size of him."
The hand in which he wrote the address was not a steady one, but write it he did. And somehow, he went downstairs to open the street door, ready for the coming of the poulterer's man. And as he stood there, waiting his arrival, the knocker caught his eye.
"I shall love it as long as I live,"
cried Scrooge, patting it with his hand.
"I scarcely ever looked at it before.
What an honest expression it has on its face."
"Why, it's a wonderful knocker. A wonderful knocker."
The chuckle with which he said this, and the chuckle with which he paid for the turkey, and the chuckle with which he recompensed the boy, were only to be exceeded by the chuckle with which he sat down breathless in his chair again and chuckled until he cried. He dressed himself all in his best, and at last he got out into the streets. And the people were by this time pouring forth as he had seen them with the ghost of Christmas present. And walking with his hands behind him, Scrooge regarded everyone with a delightful smile. He looked so irresistibly pleasant, in a word, that three or four good-humored fellows said, "Why, good morning, sir. A Merry Christmas to you." He went to church and walked about the streets and watched the people hurrying to and fro and patted the children on the head and questioned beggars, and looked down into the kitchens of houses and up into the windows, and found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, or that any dinner like the one he had that Christmas day at his nephew's, or that anything could give him so much happiness. Ah, but he was early at the office the next morning. He was early there. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming in late. That was the thing he had set his heart on. And he did it. Yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. He was full 18 minutes and a half behind his time. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come into the tank. His hat was off before he opened the door, and his comforter too. And he was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9:00.
Hello?
Growled Scrooge in his accustomed voice, as near as he could feign it.
Well, what do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
Oh, I am very sorry, sir, said Bob. I am behind my time.
Well, you are. Yes, I think you are. Now you step this way, sir, if you please.
Oh, it's only once a year, sir, pleaded Bob, appearing from the tank. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Now, I'll tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I am about to raise your salary. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary, and I'll endeavor to assist your struggling family, and we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, Bob. Make up the fires and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them, for he was wise enough to know that nothing ever happened on this globe for good at which some people did not have their fill of laughter in the outset. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. He had no further dreams of spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, may God bless us, every one.